Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Luke addresses Theophilus as we pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke, the author of this third gospel, was called by Paul the Apostle, the beloved physician. There is some speculation that his patron was a man by the name of Theophilus. In those days, physicians were often slaves. And there are some who theorize that Luke was Theophilus's personal physician and servant. Whether or not that be so is only a matter of speculation and thus worthless to delve into. Luke was a Greek, and he is the only Gentile to have the privilege of placing Scripture in that holy canon of Scripture, which we recognize as inspired of God. And there are two New Testament books that are ascribed to Luke. Of course, the Gospel according to Luke, and then the Acts of the Apostles, which he begins, again addressing himself to Theophilus, saying, "The former treatise have I made unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." There are some who say that Theophilus is not actually a person at all, but just the word in Greek, theophileo, is lover of God. And so that Luke is actually addressing his letter to the lovers of God. However, the people were usually named after hopes or aspirations or whatever of their parents. And there is no real reason to believe that Theophilus was not an actual person. In fact, being addressed as the most excellent Theophilus indicates that he was actually a ruler in the Roman Empire, as that is a title that is given to men who had a ruling position within the Roman Empire. Luke introduces the gospel to Theophilus in the first four verses of chapter 1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in an orderly fashion those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a complete understanding of all of these things from the very first, to write unto thee an orderly progression, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed." So Luke here declares that he has heard the message from those persons who were actually the eyewitnesses to these things. Now, Luke, no doubt, interviewed personally Mary in order that he might get a complete understanding concerning the circumstances that were surrounding the birth of Jesus. Luke, being a doctor, would be interested in various aspects that bordered on the medical profession. And it is obvious that he received the information of chapters 1 and 2 directly from Mary. And so from his interview with Mary and his questioning of Mary, he got the information for chapters 1 and 2. And the information in these two chapters is not found in detail like this in the other Gospels. He had heard Peter and John and those who had been with Jesus, those who were eyewitnesses. He heard their stories as they told of their relationship with Jesus and of the work and the ministry that Jesus performed. And then he no doubt questioned them more thoroughly to get a more complete understanding. And having what he feels to be a complete understanding of the story, he then proceeds to write to this man, Theophilus, in order that he might realize the certainty of those things that he had heard. Now, Luke begins then the actual story of the gospel of Jesus by dealing with the birth, first of all, of John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So immediately we are introduced to the persons that will be involved in the first part of his narrative here. Zacharias, of the tribe of Levi, making him then one of the priests. He was of the family of Abira or Abiram. His wife was also of the tribe of Levi. She was a descendant from the family of Aaron. Now, at this particular time in Israel, there were around 20,000 descendants from Levi, male descendants, involved in the priesthood. And inasmuch as it was, of course, impossible for all 20,000 to serve continually in the temple, each family had their turn to serve, and they served twice during the year for 1 week periods. And when it was the turn of your family to serve, they would cast lots to determine what particular aspect of the service you would be engaged in. And maybe once in a lifetime, the priest would have his lot to fall upon the offering of the incense before the altar of incense before the Lord. This was usually just a once in a lifetime, one day in your life, you get this glorious privilege of going in with the incense before the altar of incense to offer it before the Lord for the people. And so this was surely a significant and a special day for Zacharias, who during the time that he was serving there, the lot fell on him for this particular task. Now, we are told concerning Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were both righteous before God. They walked in all of the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Two beautiful, righteous people who are quite insignificant as far as the world is concerned. People who love the Lord, people who walked with the Lord, people you would have never heard about unless they had been so involved in the story of Jesus Christ. But people, because of their involvement, we are told of them. Now, we are also told that they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. That is, the years had taken their toll. They were bent over. They had become feeble, and the idea of well stricken in years is that of feebleness as the result of age. In that culture, it was considered a curse for a woman not to bear a child. And it was legal grounds for divorce. Had Zacharias desired to put away Elizabeth because of her inability to bear children, no one would have questioned it. It would have been accepted by everybody. But no doubt there was a tremendous love that they shared together, and they shared this grief and this sorrow together that they were unable to have children. Now it came to pass that while he was fulfilling the priest's office before God in the order of his course, they had the priestly orders, and this was one of the weeks that he had to come in for his particular duty of service. According as was the custom of the priest's office, his lot fell that he might burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And you can imagine the excitement of this old man, probably the only day in his life, and he probably had given up by now ever having the opportunity of burning incense. And when the lots were drawn, his was that lot to burn the incense before the Lord that day. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the time of incense. Now they would go in before the altar of incense, and they would take this little golden bowl that had burning coals that had been taken from the altar where they had offered the sacrifice. The lamb was offered in the morning and in the evening. And they would take the coals from the altar and put it in this little golden bowl. And then they would put the incense on top, and they would go in swinging this little incense burner before the altar of incense, and the smoke, the sweet-smelling smoke, would ascend up. And it was a beautiful symbolism of how God receives the prayers of his people. Our prayers that we offer to God arise before God as a sweet-smelling odor, pleasant, beautiful. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, when the Lamb takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who is sitting upon the throne, John said, and the 24 elders came forth with their little golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they offered them before the throne of God. Now you remember that when God gave to Moses the instructions for building the tabernacle, and all of these furnishings and the methods of worship were established, the Lord told Moses over and over, now be careful that you make it exactly according to plan. And the reason why he was to make it exactly according to the plan that was given to him was because this whole thing was a model of what is in heaven. If you want to know what the heavenly scene, the throne of God and all looks like, you can study the tabernacle, and it was a model of heavenly things. So as the priest on earth would take these little golden bowls and fill them with incense, and the incense would arise as the prayers, a sweet-smelling savor before God, so in heaven, chapter 5 of Revelation, we see it fulfilled in the heavenly scene as the 24 elders offer their little golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So a beautiful symbolism there. And so he's in offering the incense before the altar of incense, which was in the inner court of the temple, in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest went in there once a year, but the holy place, which was just outside of the Holy of Holies. And while he was there, the multitude of people were waiting outside because it was then customary when he came out to place the blessing of God upon the people. It was a special occasion, and the people would wait for the priest to come out and give them this blessing. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. What prayer? For years he had been praying, Lord, please give me a son. It really gives to us encouragement for persistence in prayer. He didn't give up, even though he was now old, well stricken with years. He was still praying, Oh Lord, I'd love to have a son. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Johanan, which means the Lord is gracious. It is shortened to John, but the full name is actually Johanan. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, the last word of God to man prior to this was in Malachi, the fourth chapter. And the last word of God to man was in Malachi 4:5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That was the last word of God to man in the Old Covenant period. Prior to the angel meeting Zacharias there at the altar of the Lord. And it is interesting, though the Lord has been silent for 400 years, that very promise, which was the last promise of the Old Testament, is the first word of the Lord in the New Testament, which is the fulfillment of that prophecy, which is about to take place as this child that will be born will go forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Now there is a lot of confusion as regards to John the Baptist and the prophecy of the coming of Elijah. In John's gospel, we are told that as John was baptizing at the Jordan River, the Pharisees came out and they demanded of him his authority and who gave him the authority to do these things. They said, Are you the Messiah? He said, No. They said, Are you Elijah? He said, No. Then who are you? He said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And yet, here the angel of the Lord tells his father that he will be going forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Now, the confusion exists in the fact that there were two comings of the Messiah. The first coming that we find recorded here in the gospel. The second coming for which we presently wait. And even as Elijah will appear before Jesus comes again, so John the Baptist came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. And if a person is able to accept it, he was the fulfillment of that promise of Elijah coming before the Lord to cause the hearts of the children to turn to their fathers and the fathers to the children. So the confusion lies in the fact that there are two comings of the Messiah as well as the two comings of Elijah, both of them to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He was to be as a Nazarene, not drinking wine or strong drink, but filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. In a little bit, we will be studying where Mary, when she received word that she was to be the instrument through which the Messiah was to be born, went to this little village of Judah, the home of Elizabeth, who at that point was 6 months pregnant. And when Mary walked in and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt the baby leap in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So at that time, no doubt John was also filled with the Holy Spirit, a prenatal experience, which is quite interesting indeed, even from his mother's womb.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord put his hand upon your life, fill you with his Spirit, and guide you with his counsels. May you be strengthened in your walk with him. May you begin to experience greater victories over those areas of the flesh that have dominated. And may you begin to experience more and more the power of God's Spirit within your life, giving victory. And may you just grow in your knowledge of him and in your fellowship. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
For years, Pastor Chuck was asked thousands of questions.
This new guy that my mom married, he thinks that the Christian beliefs are foolish, and I was wondering if that's going to affect my mom's walk.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to fight the addiction of smoking, and are those things going to keep me from going in the rapture?
Is it okay to use your tithe and give it to someone who's going on a mission trip instead of giving it directly to church?
The Word for Today is pleased to present an ebook called Biblical Counseling by Chuck Smith, listing over 200 topics that include Pastor Chuck's commentary and the scripture references he used. Topics include addiction, business relationships, depression, lawsuits, sexuality, training children, and so much more. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided, or you can call 1-800-272-9673.